This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From the AIDS 2014 Global Village to your playlist, this Joy 94.9 podcast is made possible by the support of the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Well, Well, Well. This is Jessie, and I'm joined by both Carlos and Tex Day from the Victorian AIDS Council. Thank you to the Gazman for the news this morning and to Andy for... Gazman for the morning show and Andy for the news. Good afternoon, team. How are we doing today?
We're doing great. How are you, Jessie?
I'm good. I'm pretty excited.
I'm very excited, Jessie. It's sensational to be doing a live broadcast here from the Global Village at AIDS 2014.
Absolutely. It's kind of a different vibe, isn't it? We're not in the studio. It's not quiet. We're kind of surrounded by all this hustle and bustle, so it's pretty exciting.
Indeed it is, but still, remember, well, we talk about topics that relate to the LGBTI community. And we are all about sex, health, and well-being.
That's right. And today we are doing something exciting. Like we said, we're broadcasting live from the Global Village in the AIDS 2014 conference at the Exhibition Centre in South Bank. So, Tex, do you want to tell our listeners what's going on in the Global Village and the vibe that you're feeling at the moment?
Oh, the vibe I'm feeling at the moment is absolutely over the moon. I couldn't be more excited.
Yes.
The Global Village is in the Exhibition Centre, which a lot of people in Melbourne know as Jeff's Shed, opposite Crown Casino in Clarendon Street. It's the first space when you come into the Exhibition Centre, and it's open to all of the community. It's open till 8:30 each night, and it's jam-packed with excitement. There are organisations from around the world and
really
around
is.
Australia, and there's all sorts of entertainment happening on stage.
There sure is. Have you had a chance to walk around and see what's happening? I haven't had a chance. I've just rocked up today. So
there's plenty to do. There's plenty to do. But hey, today we have a special guest with us. Well, two special guests. Ken Esson from Nigeria, who currently works in South Africa, but also has worked all around the world and in different countries. And we also have Dr. Mehdi Karaki from Morocco.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Don't forget, everybody, that the Global Village is free, so you don't need a pass to come and check it out. There are some pretty exciting activities going on in the Global Village today, straight after our show here on Joy. At 1 p.m, there's a panel discussion about public health and human rights in the context of HIV, women and motherhood at the community dialogue space, followed by a panel discussion at 2:30 between the leaders of the United Nations. There are also theatre performances and dance shows that will be exhibited on the main show, so come on down and check it out, people.
So Carlos, how can people get involved in the conversation and ask us questions?
Yeah, you can like us via facebook.com/joy, or call 1-300-JOY-949, or send us an email on air@joy.org.au, or send an SMS 0427-JOY-949.
Yep, that's great. So I hope you guys have a chance to come down. Feel free to come and say hi to us at the Joy area, which is right next to the cafe. We are chatting with Kenny from Nigeria. Good afternoon, Kenny.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. This is pretty exciting, isn't it, coming over for this conference? How are you finding it so far?
Well, lovely. It's my first time in Australia.
Yeah? Oh, is it?
Yes.
Wow.
So it's a beautiful experience, and it's a beautiful conference as well.
Yeah? So what do you think, what are you finding, the main differences between Melbourne and where you've come from?
Well, it's certainly not the weather. It's as cold as this in South Africa where I live. I thought I was escaping for some sunlight.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm yet to sample the food.
Oh, okay.
So I'm sure that will be different.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully you can get out and try out some of the food outside of the conference, hopefully, right?
Hopefully, yes. And then, of course, meeting people from different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. committed to one common cause, eradicating HIV. It's just exciting being
it
here.
It is. Yeah, yeah, it really is.
So Kenny, can you tell us, what do you think that this kind of conference can happen in South Africa, can be held in South Africa as well?
Yeah, actually, we've had the International AIDS Conference in South Africa a few years ago, and it's coming back to South Africa in 2016.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Excellent. So the next conference is in South Africa.
Wow, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you think that if something like this was held in South Africa, would you think the reaction from the public or the law enforcement would be?
The HIV conference?
Yeah, even HIV conference.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of awareness about HIV now in South Africa, certainly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that much in other parts of the continent, especially as it regards some of the key issues, the more topical issues around HIV, the HIV epidemic right now, the rights of men who have sex with men, key populations, sex workers. So with South Africa, yes, probably. Definitely, actually.
Okay.
But maybe not in Nigeria, which is my country of nationality.
Yeah.
The conference could hold, but not with the same freedom, I think, to discuss some of these issues.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'd like to go and discuss those issues a little bit more later on, for sure.
So, and I imagine this is not your first International AIDS Conference. Mm-hmm. How do you see it has evolved, and what impact do you think the conference has in the general HIV epidemic?
I think what I find very exciting is that increasingly the AIDS conference is acknowledging the other aspects of this of addressing this epidemic that are not basically scientific or just scientific and biomedical. When the idea of the AIDS conference began, it was more around the science of the epidemic. But these days, we see that the conference is acknowledging that there are other factors, social, environmental, legislative, that need to be incorporated into the response. And we see that in this conference, for instance, there's been a lot of sessions addressing stigma, discrimination, just societal responses, psychosocial support to people living with HIV or susceptible to HIV.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I went to Washington to the last conference, and this is what I love about the Global Village. It's actually where the main conference translates into community.
Lovely.
So you can actually see what's happening everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we realize how lucky we are in Australia with regards to access and treatment. Government subsidization as well as empowerment of the affected population. There's still a lot of work to be done, but we are so vastly blessed in this area. Any difference that you can talk about from where you come from?
Yeah, I mean, my work spans quite a number of African countries, and as you know, a lot of African countries bear a very huge burden of the HIV epidemic within the general population, but also within specific groups that are very that are more at risk of the epidemic. What we do find challenging is access to services, especially for certain populations, criminalized populations, men who have sex with men, sex workers, like I mentioned, people who use drugs, and in some instances, even people who live with HIV. And so, yes, you are blessed, and hopefully one day we can say that for the rest of the world.
Yeah. No, absolutely. We're getting one step closer and working together, aren't we? Now, Kenny, what kind of work are you doing at the moment, and how long have you been working in the HIV sector?
So currently I work with an organization called the African Men for Sexual Health and Rights, AMSHA. AMSHA is a regional coalition of LGBT and MSM health organizations across sub-Saharan Africa. So we're a membership-based coalition. And we work specifically on MSM and access to HIV service issues, but more broadly on the human rights situations of LGBTI people in Africa. So that's a dual approach to the work I do now.
That's great. Yeah. Well, in terms of stigma and discrimination in these areas that you work, can you talk to us a little bit about that? Or well, maybe at first explain about where you work, because you told me that you actually work across quite a few different countries, don't you?
Yeah. So my organization's membership is from 15 African countries.
Wow.
But because of the challenges around these issues on the continent, we've also had to develop partnerships with other organizations across the continent beyond this 15. Mm. So to an extent, our work spans most of the, well, about two-thirds of the 55 countries in Africa.
Wow, that's exciting. And are you able to talk to us what it's like, stigma and discrimination in these countries, and whether it's worse in Nigeria than it is in South Africa?
You know, with stigma and discrimination, I like to think that to varying degrees, many societies still retain, there's still evidence of stigma and discrimination in many societies.
Yeah.
In some societies, it's more blatant, and the issues are more blatant as well. So you would find that stigma around HIV, for instance, stigma around sexual orientation and gender identity, for instance. But in other societies, the discrimination is more passive, maybe around migrants and women or people with disabilities. So it varies across the continent and across the world, actually, because stigma and discrimination is a human reality. It's not just an African issue, but specific to HIV and in the context of my work, because there's a lot of penal criminalization of consensual same-sex relationships. Some countries still have laws that penalize some form of HIV transmission and laws which then promote stigma and discrimination against people living with HIV. So it's more challenging in some countries. Nigeria is a very unique situation now because they've recently passed a law which has also penalized any kind of organizing or support to LGBTI groups.
Okay. What do you see are the biggest roadblocks in the fight against HIV, perhaps in the countries you work in or across the world generally? I mean, you know, is it just stigma and discrimination, or are there also problems with the distribution of condoms, of safe sex materials, treatment? Those sorts of things.
Yeah. All of these things you've mentioned, Dex, are still barriers. And in some countries, the barriers are different. Ignorance is one. And I see ignorance playing in two different kind of ways. Some general ignorance about HIV modes of transmission. And, you know, it's shocking because a recent study in a country in sub-Saharan Africa actually had older members of community who thought that HIV could not be transmitted through anal sex, and these are heterosexual couples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but because the emphasis is always around heterosexual vaginal penile sex, the idea that creates is that all other forms of sex do not transmit HIV. So you have that kind of ignorance. Mm-hmm. But you also have the ignorance around, well, we have antiretrovirals, we're testing PrEP now, so we can pretty much do whatever we want to do because the end of HIV is here with us. So there's ignorance that way. There's access to treatment. There's retention of patients on antiretrovirals. And of course, there is a very serious challenge with the legal and policy environments that make it difficult to actually deliver HIV services. And a clear example, you could run the best clinic for men who have sex with men in Cameroon, but if in your penal laws you still have laws that make it a crime to be gay and liable to a prison sentence, then the MSM won't access that excellent facility, however wonderful it is. So those are some of the challenges around, you know, access to HIV services and bringing an end to this epidemic.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that. We're just going to... Can I ask you... What achievements would you like to see from this conference?
Well, certainly, I think one of the main achievements, or one of the main things that could happen from this, or maybe I'll give you more than one, okay? One is to see a lot more collaboration with between the different entities and the different sectors that work around the HIV.
Yeah, absolutely. Collaboration. Yeah. Yeah, well, thanks for that, Kenny. This is Well, 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 and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy 94.9 AIDS 2014 20th International AIDS Conference Special Presentation Podcast. Visit AIDS2014.joy.org.au and keep up to date on the conference during and following the event.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.